Spurs and football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome back. And I was reading a very important story. It was that the average American is going to buy 6 holiday gifts this year. And when I went down your list, Carla, I thought closely about what you would give and to whom. 6, I mean, there's Ron Culver sitting behind the glass, and we always wonder, is he going to be on your list? If you're going to give 6 holiday gifts this year, I know you've got this man friend about whom we never speak on the air. And then you've got 3 lovely daughters, and we'll talk about them all day. That's 4. Where does Culver sit on your list? I mean, there are only 2 spots left.
Well, to my left is my boss.
You got
to
give me
spot
one.
Number 5.
Absolutely.
And to the right is my lifeline on this mic. So Ron gets number 6.
That was a good answer because I was about to turn your mic off.
Yeah. Well, she got just the right answer. We're going to be good then, Ron. We'll be fine. And that's good to know. Now, listen, somebody else who may be fine is Russell Westbrook. He has been traded from the Rockets to the Wizards. And that's great NBA fodder. That will be a really interesting deal to unpack because you've got 2 guys who are both unhappy where they were, and you've got 2 guys who have struggled to really find a good home. And so we'll take a look at the Wall and the Westbrook trade. Other NBA news, Lakers putting it all back together again. They've got LeBron signed. They've got AD signed. LeBron at 36 signed for another 2 years. Very interesting to see what will happen with him. Gordon Hayward goes to the Hornets. We'll unpack that. And the Warriors, I mean, they're trying to reload here in light of Klay Thompson's injury.
Yes, they are. They got James Wiseman, which is going to be exciting
yep.
to watch. And Curry sees him as an immediate contributor. So let's hope. And then the pickup of Kelly Oubre is going to be exciting as well.
All right, we'll unpack all those moves when we return. We'll first look at the big trade between the Wizards and the Rockets. It will be Westbrook and Wall trading places, along with a first-round draft pick, which may prove important and be a real benefit to the Rockets down the road. We'll look at that when we return. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
All right, it created a lot of buzz when Chris Collinsworth made this comment. He since apologized for it, that he was surprised that women knew so much and were such big fans of sports. And my reaction when I heard that...
Yeah, I'm curious.
My first reaction is... He obviously doesn't know Carla Dawson, the Gloss. She's the most knowledgeable rabid sports fan I know. And you know why? I think one of the reasons you know so much about sports is you read The Athletic.
It's my Bible, my morning Bible. I'm telling you, I love that thing.
TheAthletic.com. You can subscribe today for The Athletic's best deal of the year. The deal started Black Friday, and today is the final day. New subscribers can get 12 months of The Athletic for just $1 a month.
That's 2 cups of coffee at Starbucks. 2 grandes. Come on.
That's well worth it.
Yeah.
All right. Go to theathletic.com/Black Friday Radio to get that deal. Theathletic.com/Black Friday Radio. And by the way, you can cancel at any time. So this is an easy decision to make. Go for The Athletic's best deal of the year, $1 a month for 12 months. Visit theathletic.com/Black Friday Radio. Okay, so interesting here. This offseason of the NBA has been so short, and there's so much to unpack because it's happened very, very quickly. But the big trade this week, the Rockets, who really have had a horrible offseason in so many dimensions, but their 2 stars, Westbrook and Harden, both declaring they want to leave, they want out of this team. I think they saw the departure of Daryl Morey, they saw the sad ending to last season and few possibilities of really righting the ship. Both Harden and Westbrook won out, and the Rockets now finally gave Westbrook a new life. He's been sent to the Wizards in return for John Wall.
They found someone to swap their problems with. You know, the Wizards and the Rockets, that's basically what they're doing, because both John Wall and Russell Westbrook have two of the top three worst contracts in the NBA. I mean, $130 million salary over the next three seasons for these two guys. So I think they're swapping problems in a way. I know that Russell, he didn't like Houston's culture, and he wasn't happy with their offense. He is a guy that he's, you know, he's very defiant, he's very stubborn, and he wants the ball in his hands.
Well, it was maybe never a fit to pair him with Harden.
It never was. I mean, I didn't like it from the get-go. I was like, you're kidding me. That is not going to work. And Harden was not happy with Westbrook on the court. Now, they are friendly and all of that off the court, but he preferred Wall. And, you know, to me, it's yet Harden moving another teammate out of Houston.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook. You know, my theme for the day has kind of been no excuse Friday, accountability. When does Harden get some accountability on this? It's just kind of like who he wants, he gets. Who he doesn't want, they move on from.
Well, let's look at the outlook first for the Wizards and then the Rockets.
Sure.
With the Wizards, Westbrook is now reunited with his former coach, Scott Brooks. Reunited feels so good?
Absolutely. Peaches and Herb. Remember that one?
Well, that's a team. I mean, I think he pairs well with Bradley Beal. I mean, his pairing with Beal is better than his pairing with Harden. Do you feel that way?
I do feel that way. Because you know why? Beal is, well, Russell Westbrook's deficiency is his three-point shooting and, frankly, his defense. But Bradley Beal is excellent at three-point shooting. I think, and Bradley Beal does not command the ball time and the court time and all that Russell Westbrook does.
Yep.
So I think that will work better.
Now, John Wall, he comes to the Rockets. He'll be paired in the backcourt with Harden. And, I mean, if Wall's healthy, that's a really strong backcourt. Wall, of course, a former number one overall pick. He has pedigree, but he has had a horrible time staying on the court.
Yeah, he's had a really tough injury history. And when you think about it, you know, last year he missed the entire season with an Achilles injury. The year before, he played 32 games. The year before that, 41. So he hasn't even had a half of a season in the past 3 years, which could mean some fresh legs for John Wall. But if he can stay healthy, his injury history is really lengthy. And they've been, you know, major knee issues, Achilles rupture, and bone spurs in his heel. These are not small little injuries. And he's due $41 million next season, $44 million the following, and a $47 million player option in 23-24, which is very similar to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I think in 23-24, Wall will be happy to exercise a player option
for
$47 million, particularly with the injuries that he has had. Yeah, amazing that those contracts matched up almost perfectly, so it could be a player-for-player trade. But with Westbrook having more pedigree and obviously playing better in the last couple seasons, the Rockets were able to get a first-round draft pick from the Wizards, and that's a real bonus. I mean, the Rockets haven't had a lot of draft picks over the last couple of years as Morey traded them away to pick up players. But, yeah, the Rockets have a chance to get a quality pick. It is protected. It's lottery protected in 2023, and then if it converts forward, it'll be protected at the top 12 the next year, top 10, top 8 over the following three drafts. Presumably, it will end up being a good pick, but it'll never be a top 8 pick. It will never be that high of a pick because of the protections that happened.
But, you know, you've got that. You mentioned the reunion going on in Washington with Russell Westbrook and Scott Brooks, you know, who took him to the NBA Finals when he was with OKC. There's a reunion going on in Houston, too, now, with John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, who they brought in.
Yep.
They were Kentucky teammates together. You know, the interesting thing, I like both those players so much. There is a lengthy and very intense injury history with both those players.
Both those guys, right.
Man, I mean, the talent is there, but if you can't be on the court, it's really rough. But let's hope for the best for both of them. And maybe, you know, the abbreviated season last year, and this is a short offseason, but, you know, it's 10 games less this season in a 72-game season. That's significant. That's 12%. Maybe that's going to help for both these guys down the stretch.
So, meanwhile, in the West, the Lakers, in what was probably a formality, They re-sign Anthony Davis and LeBron James. LeBron for 2 years, Anthony Davis for five. LeBron is 36 years old.
I mean, this month he's 36.
One of the many remarkable things about his career has been his health and longevity. But it is a question, how well will he hold up? There have been grumbles about the fact that he's got a short off season this year, but he hasn't had to play a full year. At least he didn't last year. And then this upcoming season will only be 72 games.
Well, and you know, you look at, yes, I know he's grumbling about that, and there are grumblings about that. It is a very short off season, but you look at what happened. You know, the regular season was stopped March 11th due to COVID.
Yep.
And it didn't pick back up in the bubble until July 30th. That's almost 5 months. And believe me, I mean, LeBron is outstanding. 16-time All-Star, 4-time NBA champ, averaging 25 points at his age, 7 rebounds, 10 assists, shoots 49% from the field. I mean, there's nothing about him that isn't amazing. However, I've got to believe that that 4 or 5 month rest on his legs absolutely benefited him and allowed him to go the distance and come out an NBA championship on the other side, NBA champion on the other side. So the flip side of that is, yes, you've got a much shorter off season, but you had a 5 month break in the middle of a shortened regular season.
Yep.
So there we go.
Now, the other team in L.A.,
no excuse Friday.
There's noise coming out of the Clippers. Paul George basically saying he was not used well last year, throwing Doc Rivers under the bus.
Not cool. Come on, PG-13. Who forced themselves out of Oklahoma? Who wanted to align himself with Kawhi Leonard? Who knew exactly what he was getting into? And who didn't show up in the offseason? It's not Doc Rivers' system. It was Paul George. And if you remember his post-game press conference, it was, hey, we weren't thinking we had to win it all this year. You weren't. You created a super team and gave up a ton and paid a lot for it. What do you mean you weren't coming to do it this year? It's time for Paul George to step up and realize his struggles and that he's got to be accountable for it.
Duly noted. All right, when we come back, we get a chance to visit with Jerry Palm. He is the CBS sports writer for all things college football. And I do want to ask him about Jim Harbaugh.
It's a head scratcher.
Do you think Harbaugh is going to be the coach of Michigan next year?
I mean, it's his last year, and he certainly hasn't earned it. But I don't see Michigan being willing to move on from him.
All right, well, we're going to ask Jerry Palm that question and many more about college football when we return here on the Boston The Gloss Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Football Friday with the Boss
in the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage
from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right. Let's go out to the Progressive Insurance guest line, because drivers who go with Progressive save over $750 on average. Joining us here on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Jerry Palm, CBS Sports senior writer and all things guru of college football. Jerry, thanks for joining us here on with David and Carla.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, we are doing great and better now that you're here. Want to ask you about Jim Harbaugh and Michigan. Obviously, things have been disappointing. Do you see Jim Harbaugh as the coach of Michigan next year?
That's a good question. I don't think they're going to fire him, but I could see him leaving on his own.
Why have things not worked out better there?
Well, look, they hired him to beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
So, you know, most coaches, and, you know, prior to this year, they've been winning 9-10 games a year, right? So, at any place else, that's great. But at Michigan, it's not, because one of those wins every year is not Ohio State. And honestly, that's not Harbaugh's fault. I mean, Ohio State is just got this machine going. You know, they recruit better than everybody else in the league. And Michigan hasn't been able to catch up. And I don't know what coach is going to change that, but it doesn't seem to be Harbaugh. And, I mean, really, any other coach who's winning 9 or 10 games a year then has a pandemic year, you know, that goes off the rails is going to get a break, because it's been a strange year for everybody. But, you know, Michigan fans were frustrated to begin with because he's not winning. It's not that he's not winning enough. It's that he's coming up one game short every year. And but now, you know, this year's been an unmitigated disaster. And so, you know, that I don't – but I don't – you know, firing coaches with big buyouts is not an easy thing to do in this environment in college football. So you may see – it's going to take a special circumstance of somebody with deep pockets to actually fire a coach. But – you know, the NFL could come calling for Jim Harbaugh again, and maybe he would consider doing that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jerry. I think it's a really tough time, and I think that Jim Harbaugh has had so much success at both the college level, what he did at Stanford, and then again at the NFL. I could see him quietly sunsetting into an NFL job and doing that, you know, to keep him up to date, which he should be. But look at University of Texas, similar situation. Chris Del Conte, Tom Herman have a frosty relationship. Tom Herman has not been what they've wanted. They're 30-18 over the past four seasons. Clearly not making the Big 12 championship yet again. What does Texas do with this, you know, $15 million buyout?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's, you know, I guess they fundraise if they want to change coaches. You know,
which they can do.
South Carolina did it. You know, South Carolina got rid of Will Muschamp and came up with the money to buy him out. So, you know, if that's what you want to do, you know, Texas has probably got pockets deep enough to do that. You know, Michigan's probably got donors with pockets deep enough to do that if that's what they really want. But, you know, that's what it's going to take. He's probably not going to leave on his own. He's going to leave with his big sack of money that he's owed. And, but, yeah, Texas has got a vision of itself that isn't happening right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tennessee is kind of the same way, although it's been a longer drought at Tennessee. You know, where fans are, you know, not far enough removed yet from, you know, being at the top of the sport. And for Texas, gosh, when was the last time Texas was at the top of the sport? When Vince Young was the quarterback,
2005,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and for Tennessee, it's like 98. So, you know, fans' expectations haven't adjusted to their current reality, and they may never. Texas has got the resources to be better than they are. So I can understand that frustration. I think they're going to try and get the money and get rid of Tom Herman there.
And you think that will happen this year as opposed to next year?
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny because the pandemic at that same school probably saved Shaka Smart's job.
Mm-hmm.
And look what that start they're off to this
right.
year.
Yeah, that's a great point. You're so right. So Jerry, you mentioned Tennessee. So they're on their fourth coach in 12 years. How much of this is on the AD?
Well, the AD's kind of new at the job right now. You know, Phil Fulmer hasn't been there that long, although I think he hired this coach. He's been long enough for that. But, you know, but at some point, you've got to get the right guy who can recruit in an environment where you're competing with Florida and Georgia in your own division and Alabama and, you know, LSU's having an off year, but, you know, they'll be back. You know, Texas A&M's improving. I mean, that's a tough league to recruit in. If you're in the middle of it, you know, it's hard. You got to have a guy who can really sell your program. And Tennessee, you know, that's not a bad place. You know, that's a place you can win. They've shown it. It's just been a long time. But they got to have the right guy, and I don't know if they've got the right guy now.
We're talking with Jerry Palm, CBS senior sports writer. Would love to ask you about the latest college football rankings. We've got the top four, but who's not in the top four? What team do you think that team deserves to be up there? A&M, Florida, Cincinnati, those teams are just outside the Big Four. Who gives you heartache?
Nobody. The four best are in the top four this season. Sure. Now, that may change. But I think those are the four best teams. You know, A&M is having a great year. They've got probably their last difficult game this week, and if they can win that, they've got a shot without winning the league, because they're not going to win the league because they're not going to win the division. But they've got a chance to possibly back into it. But Clemson and Notre Dame have been terrific all year. Ohio State hasn't had a chance to play that much, but I think we all know what a talented team that is. But they're going to have to prove it these last few games. You know, they can't take a week off. They don't have enough weeks to take weeks off. So But I still think those are the four best teams.
Okay, but at least there'll be some losses coming up. Presumably Clemson, Notre Dame play in the ACC championship game. Alabama's probably going to play Florida. What happens with Clemson, Notre Dame? Do you think even after they play that both of them can find their way into that game?
I don't think Clemson does with two losses. Clemson has to win, and then they both can be in that game.
Yeah.
Or in the playoffs. But if Clemson loses twice, it's going to open the door for somebody else. It might. It's not going to be Cincinnati. I don't think Clemson's going to drop below Cincinnati. But it could be that A&M, if they beat Auburn and went out, could back their way in at that point.
And how are you feeling about the top two or three candidates for the Heisman now? Trevor Lawrence coming back, playing well. Who else do you see giving him competition?
Yeah, Kyle Trask is having a ridiculous year at Florida. if it wasn't for Pitts getting hurt for a few weeks, he might be part of that conversation as well. Mac Jones at Alabama. I think it's going to be hard for Justin Fields just because he's not going to play enough. He's not being seen enough to win that award. He's probably a good enough player to do it, but I just don't think he's going to play enough. I would say that it's Trask and Jones and Trevor Lawrence at this point.
We're talking to Jerry Palm, CBS senior sports writer. Let me ask you about the quarterbacks coming out of college this year. It looks like another good group. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, the big headline, presumably going number one overall. But how many quarterbacks do you think will be taken in the first round?
Gosh, it could be a pretty good year. I mean, some of it's going to depend on team needs. I don't know how many of these guys are really franchise quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence is. Kyle Trask might be. Justin Fields, I would think, is probably second in line for the possible franchise quarterback. I don't know how the pro scouts feel about Zach Wilson at BYU, but he's having a terrific year. Mac Jones is going to get picked by somebody. I mean, those are probably all first-round level guys, but the guys that could probably change your franchise if you surround them with good enough people, which is a mistake too many teams make. Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields to me.
When I look at this Oklahoma Sooners team, they've come on late, and the guy that stood out to me is Spencer Rattler. I think he'll be in the Heisman race next year with Lincoln Riley coaching him. What has he shown you?
Well, resilience, because this is a team that got off to a really disappointing start with high expectations. And, I mean, you look at what happened at Michigan and Penn State and other places that got off to rough starts. Everything went completely off the rails, and Oklahoma's rallied. And now it looks like a team that I think you'd have to consider them the favorite to win the Big 12, even though Iowa State may finish first in the league. And be the higher seed, if you will, in the conference championship game. And they're terrific. They're having a fantastic year. And I don't mean disrespect to them. But Oklahoma looks like the team we thought they would be, you know, at the beginning of the year. But they had to bounce back. And we haven't seen a lot of bounce back this year. And Oklahoma's bounced back. And I think Spencer had something to do with that.
Jerry, how will the Big Ten handle Ohio State if they end up not having enough games played to be in the Big Ten title game? Because I know this weekend's matchup against Michigan State is planning to be played, but still a little bit hangs in the balance.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's finally on a plane on their way there.
Good.
Yeah, Ohio State must have done a great job of managing this problem, because every other Big Ten team that's had a COVID problem have missed two consecutive games, not just one. And Ohio State's managed it. I think the league athletic directors, if Ohio State plays this week and the Michigan game can't go off because Michigan's got a problem, they'll put Ohio State in the championship game anyway. And it's up to the athletic directors. They're the ones who set this eligibility rule for that game. They didn't really build much flexibility into it, which was a bad idea. They didn't really think that through very well, and I think they'll fix that.
Jerry, as usual, you're outstanding. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, anytime. Thanks.
Really appreciate that. Jerry Palm, he is a CBS senior sports writer. He'd probably like me to say he's a CBS sports senior writer. Not a senior writer, right. He is a young man, to be sure. All right, when we come back, we're going to shift gears. We'll look back at the NFL, and we're going to unpack what has happened in the NFC East. How much will it take to win that division when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network? We'll be right back.
to Football Friday with the Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Okay, one of the strange, unsettling narratives in the NFL is the NFC East, or shall we say NFC Least. The question on the table is, how many wins will it take to win that division? I mean, you've got the Redskins with 4 wins right now. And by the way, I want to go on record. I said this several weeks ago.
Yes, you did.
Nobody believed me way back when I said this.
I kind of giggled.
And you laughed at me, and I was ridiculed, and Twitter exploded negatively against me. The crowd. But I think I might be right. The Redskins might actually win that division.
I think you are right.
They're
the only ones that seem to be trending in the right direction. The New York Giants a little bit, but they've had the setback with Danny Dimes' hammy. I mean, Dallas, yeah, no.
Well,
Philly, we've already gone through that.
Yeah. But so in this division, listen to what you just said, which is really that it's a huge setback that the team that might really have won was the one that lost Daniel Jones. I mean, Daniel Jones has not really shown anything. But
there's nothing right about that
statement. Daniel Jones was leading the Giants to the division title.
It's not nice that I'm laughing. I'm going to have to go to confession, but yes.
But think about it. There is that. He's injured. And, of course, they lost Saquon Barkley earlier in the year. If they'd held it together, if those two injuries had not happened, yes, they might well be on their way. But you could say that about a lot of these teams. The division is beat up. I mean, certainly so those Giants have had those tough injuries. Daniel Jones will be back. It looks to be a couple weeks. I mean, he's got a hamstring injury. Those are always tricky. So
he may even be back. They're not naming a quarterback even as of yet. He may be back this weekend.
And if
but
he's not,
but does that really
back,
give you comfort?
No.
Fan? Well, but I just gotta
look,
ask it, Big Blue.
I do think it's better than Colt McCoy, which is the guy who would step in.
Sure.
I just don't see that happening. By the way, it's funny when you look around the NFL and you think about the Ravens-Pittsburgh game, just the old college quarterback names that have popped up in the last. Colt McCoy and the Giants.
Trace McSorley.
RG3. They were great college quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But, boy, they did not project into the NFL. But in that NFC East, we've gone through the Phillies, a complete meltdown. Carson Wentz going nowhere fast. That's a problem.
Trending absolutely in the wrong direction.
And the Giants are a mess, and Daniel Jones is done. So that just takes you back to the Redskins. They are the team, and it just might turn out that the winner of that division finishes with 6 wins, six-win division winner.
Well, right, because the Redskins right now at 4-7, and they're going to see the Steelers this week.
Yep.
Which that should not be easy for them. But, you know, and what a great story. Let's just talk about Alex Smith for a minute here. I mean, the fact that he is, A, on a roster and even wanted to come back, given the gruesome injury that truly almost took his life and at the very least his leg. And here he is, starting quarterback of the Washington football team.
Yeah.
He's got his legs. They don't have a name. But whatever.
Well,
they may have a conference champion.
He's played pretty well. And if he were to lead that team to a division title, albeit with an asterisk, an NFC least division title, that would be a great story in Washington. Really, the strength of that team, though, is their front seven. So many first-round draft picks on the front line. They've got a great rookie defensive end in Chase Young out of Ohio State, who's really playing well. Now, that is a powerful defensive front, and they started to run the ball pretty well over the last couple of weeks. Look out for the Redskins. Look out for the Washington football team.
Well, and you know, they're facing a Pittsburgh Steelers team on short rest and a team that lost their main pass rusher in Bud Dupree to an ACL. I mean, seriously, can we just cancel the ACL club every single week? It's just at least one.
Yep.
It's just so sad, and I've just got to believe the whole weirdness of this season and the lack of the preseason and no preseason games, this all has to play into. And the 5 months where really nobody was meeting at their facilities, counting on guys to do their own type of workout. I mean, of course they're dedicated, but it's different when you're working out with your position group or you've got your strength and conditioning coach. It's just unbelievable. I'm sad for Bud Dupree. That news came down yesterday. That's really unfortunate and a big blow to the Steelers.
These ACL injuries are just so mysterious. Oh. I mean, what you saw with Bud Dupree is what you often see with these injuries. Yeah. I mean, we all know football is a violent sport. It's a contact sport. But Bud Dupree was not hit. He was just trying to make a cut out on the open field. The knee buckled over, and he was done. Just an amazingly bad twist of events. I think the Steelers are built to overcome that. But when we look ahead, I mean, the Steelers are going to be facing the Chiefs. I think it's going to come down to the Steelers and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
That'd be exciting.
And the Steelers will want every defensive resource, every defensive weapon to try to slow down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and they will go without Bud Dupree.
Who had 11 sacks last season. That's a big loss. He's already had 8 on the season so far.
8 this season so far.
Oh,
and
man.
Was part of a unique group up there. I mean, T.J. Watt, of course, is outstanding rushing the passer. Bud Dupree's rushing. Cam Hayward is an outstanding. Those guys, that's a really great defensive front. A big loss for the Steelers. Yet, they now stand 11-0. Not an impressive win over the Ravens, 19-14. They did everything they could to lose the game, yet they won the game.
Oh my gosh.
11-0.
Muffed punt and just the inability to convert in the red zone. They were 1 of 4 in the red zone on Wednesday.
So the world now asking, could the Steelers run the table? Might they be the team to go 16-0, the first team to go 16-0 in the regular season since the Patriots did it long ago? Can you envision it? Do you see it?
Yes, I see it because this is the weirdest season ever.
Yep.
But I don't necessarily recommend it, i.e.,
I wouldn't
suggest for the Steelers to lose so that they don't have that monkey off their back. Never, ever would I suggest that. But I think if they do lose a game, it's not going to hurt them. I think the pressure, I just saw Wednesday, I felt like they were playing so tight because the pressure was on them and they were facing a very depleted Ravens team due to COVID. And I think all that just really, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger stunk it up on Wednesday. I mean, they didn't look good. And I just think part of that is the tightness, you know, and I go back to just even in a different sport, I look at the Golden State Warriors trying to break the Bulls record of 73 wins. They did it. With 74 wins, but that took so much out of them, and they lost in the finals to Cleveland. So don't know that it's worth it. The regular season is important, but the postseason's where it's at.
Well, I guess the one thing that is strong motivation to try to continue to run the table is they'd love to be that one team in the AFC that gets the bye.
Sure.
Chiefs one game behind, and that's certainly impetus for the Steelers to play at an excellent level. Now, they have 5 games remaining. As we mentioned, they play Washington this week. Then they travel to Buffalo, and that's a tough matchup.
That'll
on the
be
road.
Tough. Sure.
Cincinnati. Then they have to go to Indy, and then they will have to go to Cleveland. So they finish their last 4 games on the road, Buffalo, Cincy, Indy, and Cleveland. No, I just think they're going to stumble somewhere along the way. And when I look at that team, one thing that I think would give me pause if I were Mike Tomlin, something I would really want to work on, is their running game has not been very good of late.
No.
And when you start to think about playing teams like Buffalo on the road or Indy on the road late here in December, you need a running game.
Yep.
And that's really the one concern I would have. And look, they may be hosting playoff games in Pittsburgh in early January, and to not have a running game could be a problem for them at that point, too.
Sure. That hurts you. And, you know, it just puts more pressure on Roethlisberger, who has known to be inconsistent. I mean, they need to find that. They need to find that to take the pressure off of him.
Speaking of quarterbacks, there is a quarterback in Houston, Texas, who is playing exceptionally well. Deshaun Watson's on a tear.
Oh, my gosh.
It really is notable when you look at the Texans, what a different team they have been since the departure of Bill O'Brien. They were 0-4 when he left. Romeo Crennel, the aged one, what is he, 73 years old?
I think he's older than that. I want to say 76.
But who's counting anymore?
Who's counting? Once you're up there, hey, good for you. It doesn't matter.
But I think he's been a breath of fresh air to this team. Watson seems happier. There's a bounce in his step, and he's playing better football.
I mean, Watson is turning heads. He's been the best QB in the league since week 5. Look at these numbers. His accuracy at 70.6%, followed by Mahomes at 69% and Rodgers at 67%. percent. And then you look at the passing yards. He's just behind Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes at 2,300, basically. Watson at 2,100. I mean, amazing numbers. And you look at the weapons that Mahomes has in Tyreek Hill, in Travis Kelce, and in the run game with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You look at the weapons that Deshaun Watson has and had in Will Fuller gone. They let Kenny Stills go on waivers. I mean, they're doing this with guys like Kiki Kuti. They need to get Brandon Cooks more involved. There is no running game.
Yep.
David Johnson's out. Duke Johnson, it's not making it happen. So the fact, you look at the QBRs at these top three quarterbacks of Watson, Mahomes, and Rodgers right now. Watson at 120, Mahomes 116, and Rodgers at 111. Look at that level that Watson is playing. And while I do believe this isn't doing much because Houston doesn't have the pieces around him like Patrick Mahomes does in Kansas City.
Well, the Texans have no running game.
None. Zip.
And he's having to do it all without any protection of a good running game.
And they've had to piece together their O-line as well due to injuries and things. What I think this is doing for Houston Texans fans, fear not, is that making this job, this coaching job, and hopefully GM job, attractive for people to come and say, I want to coach that
guy. You taking notice, Eric Bieniemy?
Yes, I'm kind of saying that. I'm not even kind of. I'm saying it. Come on, Eric. We treat you right in Houston. Southern hospitality. We got it going on.
Well, it would be. It seems like a perfect fit when you think about the talents of Mahomes and the talents of Watson and what Bieniemy has been able to do there in Kansas City. Of course, we have the problem that we've always had when you've got a legendary coach. This is the problem that all these assistants coming out of under the shadow of Belichick, when they would come out of the Patriots, you never really knew how much credit went to Belichick versus the assistants. In this case, would Eric Bieniemy be as successful if he were not under Andy Reid? Can he do it on his own? Those are the only questions really you have about Bieniemy. But I just think at this moment in time, it's a perfect fit.
I do too. And you know what? Bieniemy, just like Stephen Silas with the Houston Rockets, a new head coach, he's paid his dues. He has done his time. He has proved his worth. He is ready. The time is now. And I just hope that he finds the Houston job attractive. We'd love to have him here.
I have a feeling he's going to have some other options as well.
I know.
I mean, Detroit, obviously, they're looking for a new coach. They fired
Atlanta as well.
And Atlanta, who they may take their current one. He's played. I mean, Raheem Morris has been a really nice fill-in.
He has.
I mean, the Falcons, who started miserably, have played very well of late.
No, I agree. Listen, if I'm Eric Bieniemy and I'm just looking at the quarterbacks, I mean, Matt Stafford is a great quarterback, but he's not dynamic. He's older. He's not at the peak of his career. I mean, you're getting Deshaun Watson, who's youthful. You've got him for the next 4 years or three and a half, or it'll be three by the time the coach takes over. And he has not yet peaked. I mean, this is the beginning. And he is such a sponge. I mean, this is, if I'm a coach and a developer like Bieniemy is, I want to work with this guy.
Yeah, I don't think Matt Stafford's any kind of comparison. You look at Matt Stafford, he has not won a division title in 12 seasons.
Jeez.
I mean, 12 seasons is a long enough run to get an indicator. Now, there are all kinds of problems in Detroit, and I really can't put it all on Matt Stafford.
No, I agree.
But to think that you're going to bet on Matt Stafford and Deshaun Watson, that there's no debate there. And then, of course, Atlanta, if Raheem Morris is not the head coach there next year, Matt Ryan will likely return. But
he's older, and he's at the sunset of his career, I would think, or close to.
No. He's certainly on the – well, he's on the back nine, if not the back third of his career. He's had some great seasons. But there will be other opportunities. Bieniemy will certainly be in high demand. This weekend, there's some good games coming up. I'm really looking forward to – that matchup, the Rams-Cardinals matchup, I like because
it's going to be good.
I think it's very important for both teams, and they both have had some frustrating losses in the last couple weeks. I just think they're really going to need to, I mean, the Rams have a great corner in Jalen Ramsey, who will probably pair up against DeAndre Hopkins. That's a matchup I really look forward to watching. I worry that Kyler Murray is not at full strength. He appears to be a little step slower, perhaps a little beat up. He's not as aggressive as he was just a few weeks ago. But that's a big win. That's a big matchup for those two teams, both teams who think they can get into the playoffs.
And both teams coming off of losses. I mean, the Rams got swept by San Francisco in the NFC West, that series. And Arizona's lost three of its last four games, all of them at home. And this is going to be a home game for Arizona. So the Rams sitting at 7-4, Arizona at 6-5. I agree. This is a big game for both. So who do you trust more? Would you want, in this matchup, would you take Goff or would you take Kyler?
Well, I think Kyler gives you more upside. He's much more dynamic.
Much more athletic as
well. For this Sunday, and considering that Sean McVay is going to come up with a good game plan to help Jared Goff along the way, I guess I predict the Rams to win the game. But if I were betting my future on a quarterback between those two, it would be Kyler Murray over Jared Goff.
You know, Jared Goff has had 8 straight games scoring 30 or less.
All right, when we come back,
trend.
There's another great game coming up, a big game. It's Cleveland and Indy.
Ooh,
we'll make
yeah.
our picks between the Browns and the Colts up next here on The Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Football Friday with The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, when we went to break, I declared that it was going to be Cleveland versus Indy. It's not. It's Cleveland versus the Titans. And my prediction is the team that runs the ball better.
It's Chubb versus Henry.
We're going Henry.
See you next week.